Good morning, friends and brethren. It's so very good to see you today. Glad you're here. Again, good to see some visitors with us. We're happy to have you with us today. Is it well with your soul? I would think that would be appropriate to ask. The songs that we've been singing, considering the peace that is found in Jesus, is it well with your soul? People today are looking for peace. It's not a new issue, but always it seems there are those who have been looking for peace. There are many that are hurting, and I don't think we have to look so far to see those that are hurting. There have been some who have said that in every congregation of our brothers and sisters, you can look in the pew and you can find those who are hurting. But sometimes it's hard to see because we can hide and we can mask pain very well sometimes. But there are those who are dealing with disappointments in life and trying to understand what to do and how to deal with situations of life, relationships that have difficulties in them, or health issues of our own, of our family, that may trouble us, financial problems that can be such a burden. And then, of course, the burden that comes because of sin. That's a heavy weight that some would bear. There's peace that can be found. There is peace that can be found in Jesus. If we think back to some examples that Jesus has left for us and teaching that He has given, I hope that we can find peace. If we think back to some of the chapters in the book of John that come to my mind, chapters 13 through 18 in particular, when Jesus was just days and, well, even just hours before His crucifixion, He had so much to say to His disciples as He continued to try to teach them and encourage them in some things that they needed to know and they needed to hear, knowing His time was just so limited because the hours were ticking away. And Jesus knew that He would not be with His disciples much longer. His hour had come that He should depart out of this world to the Father. John chapter 13 and verse 1. That passage also would tell us that Jesus loved His disciples to the end, and that Jesus used His final hours before His betrayal and crucifixion to just try to teach them a little bit more. And He demonstrated, once again, the attitude of a servant. It was in that chapter that He washed the feet of His disciples. But indeed, His whole life was that of servitude. And after teaching them again, He reminded them that they must as well display a servant's heart, that they must serve, beginning with serving one another. That was part of what He was teaching them in that chapter. But try to imagine what the apostles were thinking. Jesus told them in that setting that one of their own would betray Him. It was there that Jesus predicted Peter's denial. Well, who would have saw that? That news coupled with the very idea that Jesus would not be with them much longer. All of this was a lot to handle. And so we try to imagine what the disciples were thinking as they were hearing all of these things and coming to understand more and more that Jesus was only with them for a short period of time. What they must have been thinking. In John chapter 14, we see where Jesus sought to give them comfort. He was leaving them, but He was going to prepare a place for them and for us. And He revealed that they had seen the Father. And they must have thought, how so? But He told them that in that they had seen Him, that He would speak and that the Father would speak and live in Him. And so in Him they could have seen the Father. And Jesus promised them help, that the Holy Spirit would come and would guide and would lead them. And so you think in this short period of time, all that they had come upon the apostles, all that they had seen, and all that they were hearing now, this was a lot. This was a lot to absorb. It had been a lot to handle. Almost too much to take in. And then Jesus says something more. There's an offer of peace. In John chapter 14, I'd like you to look with me. John chapter 14, you know, most of this lesson comes from one verse today. That doesn't happen too often. John chapter 14, and it's verse 27 where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." I want us to focus on this peace. Peace is something that was very much needed on that day, and even more so in some of the events that were to come. The promise of peace was real, just as any other promise of Jesus was real. And the apostles knew so very well that the words of Jesus came with power. They came with authority. And that makes this an offer of hope. When Jesus was offering them peace, they knew that there was something to that promise. They knew that there was something that they could count on. And so Jesus had every reason to give them hope and assurance of peace. Though Satan thought he was about to accomplish the greatest feat ever, Jesus knew of the hope that could only be found in the Father, even as we saw verse 28. And so Jesus sought to give them reason for hope and reason for peace. But what was the peace they were looking for? And where do we think it can be found? And if we turn that around a little bit, and if we were to say, what is the peace we are looking for? And where do we think peace can be found? Is peace found by financial gain? Is it found by money? Is it found by popularity? Is peace found by some product of this life? Peace is not found in external attributes, but peace is found within. But only with the help of Jesus. Someone described peace this way, a state of mind that is satisfied. You can almost tell with some people just in their actions and the things that they say that they're not at peace with themselves. Sometimes it's hard to find that peace. And in fact, sometimes the more time we have alone, the more uneasy we become. If we don't have peace within our own mind, within ourselves, peace becomes very elusive, even harder to find. But Jesus is telling us that there is peace that can be found. Peace can be attained, but it's only by the means that Jesus will give us. Peace does not mean that we will be without trials, that we will be without hardships, that these things wouldn't be expected. Because Jesus just told his disciples of a multitude of problems and issues that they would have to face. And yet he offered them peace. And so the offer of peace does not mean that all of our sudden our life is without issue, our life is without problems. And yet Jesus offered peace. These incredible words of promise and hope are being spoken by the one who in just hours is going to face the greatest storm of evil to be faced. Jesus was standing before his crucifixion. And yet Jesus still knew peace. There was an assurance here that Jesus is giving that he would care for his disciples, that they would know the peace that the world cannot understand. And I want us to understand that we can know that peace as well. Real peace of mind. And Christians today can find comfort that comes from that promise. Jesus had the power to deliver peace. Remember, when you think about some of the stories we read about Jesus and his disciples, remember how calm Jesus was when the tempest blew down off of the hills onto the storm of Galilee and the small vessel was tossed on the sea. The wind and the waves beat on the small boat and carried the disciples and the Lord, and the disciples were in fear of their life. And when the boat was filling with water and the disciples were fearing that they would perish, there was one who was at peace. And that was Jesus. He rebuked the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. is what Mark chapter 4 says. In some ways, I look at that as being symbolic, not only of the power of Jesus to control forces, but even His ability to grant peace. That if Jesus has the power and the ability to control nature, to calm the storm, He has the power to calm the storms of our life, if we will let Him do so. Imagine the amazement of the disciples on that day. When they saw those events as they took place, and as Jesus provided this peace and this calm as they were there on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus has the power to provide peace of all kinds. And then it's in Mark chapter 5, as the story continues, remember how Jesus calmly confronted the maniac possessed by so many demons. Everyone else was afraid to go near Him. He had caused all kinds of problems and havoc. The man was so strong in his frenzy that he could even break the chains that bound him. And others were afraid to even go near Him. And it was Jesus who calmly cast the unclean spirits from Him and gave Him peace. It was profound peace that encircled Jesus that enabled Him to do His work. Jesus exhibited that peace. It was remarkable. And then even in His greatest hour of darkness, when He was moments away from His betrayal, when His disciples were leaving Him, and the hill of Golgotha was in sight, and we try to imagine the pressure of it all, and yet Jesus prayed with remarkable calm, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." That was the calm of Jesus in the face of the most incredible circumstance of life. How could He be so calm? How could there be such peace beyond our understanding? And yet Jesus is promising peace to His disciples. Jesus knew and understood peace. Jesus demonstrated peace. And His disciples could see that. And peace can be ours. Peace can be something that we know and that we understand. We need peace no less than those disciples did long ago. We need peace no less than Jesus did. But true peace can only be found in one source. And Jesus spoke about that peace. Again, John 14 and verse 27, the focus of our study. "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace I leave with you. The peace which the Lord promised is not the world's brand of peace. In the world, when we talk about peace, perhaps we're talking about an absence of war. Or maybe we're talking about the absence of external strife that's brought about by human reasoning and human action. But Jesus had possession of a peace that was something deeper, something lasting longer or more than anything the world could offer. Jesus was offering a peace at heart, a peace that would banish anxiety and fear. That's what Jesus offered. An internal peace, a positive blessing that only God could give. There is this source of peace that comes from God that no one else can give. And as Paul would say at another time, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful." The apostle understood and tried to teach and help us to understand the peace that we can have, the peace that we can find. It comes in Jesus. God blesses our heart when we are fully dedicated to Him, then His peace will rule in us. We can know and we can understand peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." An incredible possession that Jesus is offering to those who are His. And we can see that peace because Jesus demonstrated that. We see that to be His character in life, His nature in life. And the disciples saw it. You think about those who are the closest to Jesus, and that those he is offering this peace to, the 11, the apostles. But Judas was still with them, but Judas did not know peace. Judas was troubled. His heart was not with Jesus. And with the peace given by Jesus, they would learn to face with serenity. And with serenity, endure the most chaotic situations and conditions that Satan could create. They were about to see that, endure that. And throughout their lives, even after the resurrection of Christ, and as they would go to the world preaching, the persecutions that they would come, they would still know and understand peace. We think about some of the writings of the apostles in the days and in the years that are to come. Even those who are at the point of facing death and doing so with a calmness that's hard for us to understand, they knew and understood the peace that is found only in Jesus. I need that peace. I suppose you do too. We need to understand that peace. And Jesus said, "Not as the world gives, but as I give you." It's a beautiful contrast that Jesus is making, that in every way, Jesus is different than the world. And in every way, what he offers is so far and above what the world can give, there's not a comparison even that can be made. We cannot help but wonder, did these disciples understand the blessings of what Jesus is promising? And do we understand, can we fully comprehend the peace that Jesus is talking about? Philippians chapter 4. Look with me to Philippians chapter 4. Remember I said the apostles at times have talked about peace that comes through Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4, the apostle Paul said something so beautiful in this regard. Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 5, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God's peace fills the emptiness that the world offers. The world at its best still leaves us less than full. The world at its best still leaves us empty. But the peace of God fills us. And then Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus saw in the disciples the symptoms of that carnal weakness that could bring them to their knees within hours. Again, you have to think about the timing of what Jesus was saying, why he was saying these things now. He was leaving them. Peter was going to deny him. Judas was going to betray him. The cross was in sight. And yet Jesus is promising peace. "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus could understand the overall plan of God, and he had told them about it, but they still couldn't grasp it all. They would understand more fully soon. But likewise, I'm afraid sometimes we fail to accept the plan of God as he has set for those who would be his people. And sometimes we become so embroiled with the problems and issues of this life that we forget about the plan that God has for those who would be his. That there is hope that goes far beyond anything that this life can give or offer. That we would live a life that is different, that is set apart from the world, that comes to know and understand that peace that surpasses understanding. Our lives would know much greater peace if we would just fully submit ourselves to the will of God, to the one who offers that peace. And with Jesus, we can learn to go through this world, a world that is full of many cares and tribulations and problems, and we can do so keeping our hearts at peace because Jesus said so. "Neither let your heart be afraid." Don't be afraid, Jesus said. There is a confidence that can be found in nothing and in no one other than God. How do we think Jesus faced the cross? Jesus could see and understand the big picture. Jesus could understand God's eternal purpose because He was there. Because Jesus had been with God from the beginning, from before the beginning of time, through eternity. Jesus could find peace because He understood God's eternal plan. So can we. It's when we get caught up in the issues of this life that we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of God's plan. But when we stop and when we think, when we consider the will and the words of God that He has given us, we can see the big picture. Then we can find peace. We think about how Jesus could face the cross. And we wonder how He could do it, except that He knew the power of God over evil, and He had confidence in the resurrection that would come, that God would bring forth. And because that resurrection happened, because it took place just as God said it would take place, we have that same hope and confidence of the resurrection that is to come. We have that hope. So regardless of what we have to face and deal with in this life, we know it's a temporary sadness, it's a temporary hardship, because we are living for the day that we stand before the Lord to be recognized as His people, enter in good and faithful service. If we are the people of God that we should be, the peace that we can find in this life is just like that Jesus knew. It's like the peace He knew. And we can live with that confidence. Jesus knew peace, and He wants us to know that peace. And we can. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace." That's why these words are recorded for us. That's why Jesus said these things to those disciples long ago, and why they are written for us, so that we can know that peace. God's everlasting love will bring a peace to the hearts of those who are dedicated to His will. The Apostle Paul knew that peace. I marvel sometimes at some of the issues that Paul had to face as an apostle, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that always he seemed to be able to find reason for hope, because he too could see and he could understand that big picture. And when he was trying to teach us about how we must be led by God and how we must choose to live either by the flesh or by the Spirit of God, it was in that context that he spoke about peace. Would you go with me to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. It's in verse 6, the apostle writes, let's go back to verse 5. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." It's one of those passages that you don't really have to stop and ponder and think in depth about what he's saying or about what it means. The choice is we can live to the flesh and we will not know peace. Not only will we not know God in this life or in eternity, but we can really find no peace if that's our manner of life. But if we choose to live according to the Spirit, there is peace that can be found. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want that peace. And I want us all to know and understand that peace. And as the apostle was continuing some of these thoughts, he goes on in really some concluding thoughts in the latter part of the chapter, Romans chapter 8, and beginning at verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Indeed, the issues and the problems of this life cannot separate us from God as long as we choose Him. As long as we choose to walk and to live by the Spirit, to live according to His will, whatever difficulties we face in this life will be temporary. And the peace we know is understanding that in the end, we can be His. There is a peace that we can know and understand. Peace. A real peace that is from God. There is no true and lasting peace that can be found in the matters and issues of this life. It does not matter what we have, what we enjoy in this life. It cannot give us real peace. But Jesus is giving us that. He's offering. It's ours to accept and to take if we will respond to Him and live for Him. Are you looking for peace? Even as Christians, sometimes we struggle with that. We're trying to work through issues of life, and we think sometimes that no one knows, no one understands what we are dealing with, what we are facing. What are we thinking when we say that? Because Jesus knows. He will help us find peace. We're not a child of God. We have no peace. We can't find peace. Not separated from Jesus. But we don't have to be that way. We don't have to stay that way. Peace is in Jesus. If we will submit to Him, if by faith we will respond, changing our life, repenting of our sins, confessing His name, being baptized for remission of sins, we can have peace in this life and peace to come. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we hope you will now as we stand and sing.